Hey, everybody, this is Corey Poindexter, joined by Bob Feckety, and you're listening to Small Package, the podcast about video games, wrestling, and other entertaining stuff going on in the world out there. On today's episode, we're talking about the new Ghostbusters trailer. Bob discusses a cool video game coming out called No Man's Sky. Then Bob takes a little bit of a shit on Nintendo while I get hyped for Star Fox. We're also recapping Raw, recapping SmackDown, and talking championship belts, McMahon family's values, and brand split. So stick around. This is Small Package. Thank you for tuning
in. And we're done.
Today on Small Package, Raw. Raw.
Great start.
Raw.
Let's kick it off, because what do we got, Corey? You want to talk about Raw, so might as well just get it started, get it over with. We aren't a wrestling podcast, but we are going to be talking about wrestling nonstop because that's all Corey talks about. So if you're going to record Corey, you're going to get wrestling discussion. Like, it's like saying if you try to, you know, walk outside during the daytime, you're going to see the sun. It's just,
it's very true.
It's how it works. That's just how life is.
It's just a factor.
I could make this into a knitting podcast, and Corey would be like, "Did you see those Macho Man patterns online?"
If they had more wrestling themed craft stuff, I feel like I could get my wife into wrestling. Kayla just has zero interest in it. And I'm not saying that it's tearing our marriage apart. I'm not saying that. But I'm also not saying that. I do love me some WWE.
And you love your wife.
And I love my wife. If I had to rank the priorities in my life, she's number one. Sound guy stuff is number two, but a close third is wrestling. I mean, it's up there. I love wrestling. Not as much as my wife. If I could just get those two on the same wavelength.
You'd never go outside again.
I might not. I might not have a need to. Except for priority number two, which is my job. So I might only go out for wrestling-themed jobs.
So now that we have inevitably moved on to Raw, let's just do a quick recap.
Quick recap.
Because like I said, I don't want this to become a wrestling podcast with other things. I want this to be a things podcast, and one of those things is wrestling.
Of course.
So, the big picture here looking at is obviously the main event from WrestleMania. We have Triple H versus Roman Reigns set for Mania, but Roman's off camera,
getting
off screen.
For
a month, so that means that his role has been delegated to Dean Ambrose. So now Dean Ambrose is just pushing this whole face movement against the authority heel Triple H to get the belt back.
Yes, which is this is the thing that is super confusing to me is everyone. We've heard other people's opinions on this past week's Raw, ranging from "boo, I hated it, everyone die," to people who were like, "hey, it was pretty good." This is my biggest concern: is you're in Nashville, so you're in a town that is not as full of smarky people.
Yeah, it's not Brooklyn, it's not Philly,
right?
We got it.
And you have Brooklyn, Philly, Raw, Brooklyn, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Chicago coming up for them.
Yeah, which are like the four smarkiest cities.
Right. So you've got some rough towns for not over baby faces coming up. And last week, I don't remember where they were at last week, but they booed. Was it Detroit?
Wasn't it Atlanta?
That's when Shane came out, the previous week. Not this week, the 29th.
Oh.
But the week before.
Yeah, I think it was Detroit.
And that's when Shane came out.
And like you had that big pop. Now Detroit is maybe, I mean, I don't think of Detroit when I think of the towns that are brutal for road shows for like WWE's like SmackDown and Raw and stuff. But like they were really cheering for Triple H smashing Roman Reigns' face into the announce table.
They were very big fans of that.
And then conversely, if you look at the end of this week's Raw on the 29th, Leap Year Raw. You were the one who told me about that, mm-hmm, right? This is the first
ever Leap Day Raw.
And like the first one until
2044, I think.
Jesus. But anyway, you know, Dean got his face beat in, well, you know, his whole body beat in by Trips at the end of the show this week, and everyone booed Triple H. Now, granted, last week with Roman Reigns, you had Trips was sort of, he was sort of doing the whole like crotch chop and the fake Superman punch thing. So he was being kind of a funny, like he definitely wasn't trying to make himself get hated.
He was being like a throwback heel to his classic heely days in DX.
Everyone cheer for me, I'm Triple H. But like this time it just, but he didn't do all of those funny things to make you like him like he did against Roman Reigns, but like he still didn't go out of his way to necessarily make himself get hated. Everyone just booed because he was beating up on Dean that everybody likes, as opposed to Roman, where it's kind of mixed. I mean, it's
simple logic. You beat up on a guy people don't like, they're going to cheer for you. You beat up on a guy people do like, they're going to hate you.
Exactly. But what I worry about there is the fact that, like, this is what I mean when I say I like Roman Reigns. I'm not a big Roman Reigns fan. I don't really want to see Roman Reigns with the title, but I mean, the guy's, he's doing what he's told to do. Like, it's, you can't blame him. He's going out there, he's working on the matches, he's putting himself out there, he's doing, like, when they tell him you're getting on the mic, he does it. He may not always be good at it, but by God, he picks up the microphone and he goes for it. So I can't hate on the guy for, he's trying to do his job, but he's just not over with most of the fans. And it's really concerning that, like, they may be, there's a lot of conspiracy theory stuff on there, whether or not they're burying him on purpose or not, but I think they're inadvertently burying him.
I mean, I'm with you. It is sad to see, because the man steps into the ring and he's really good. He puts on good matches.
Aside from his finisher.
I enjoy watching Roman Reigns' match. And honestly, his Hell in a Cell against Bray was really good.
Yeah.
I liked agree. It. But yeah, the booking is just a problem, and this is just a retread of what everyone has been saying for like 2 years. So this podcast isn't gonna crack the solution.
Right. Yeah, I get that. But I wish that they would just, I mean, and this is something a lot of people have said as well, just turn him heel. It's something interesting. If the people are already booing him, give him a run as a heel to sort of get the boos out and then try to turn him face later and save them.
Yeah, I mean, I think this whole, because he plays the underdog card, even though he somehow always ends up coming out on top and is also, you know, a 6 foot whatever, 200 plus pound, muscly, gorgeous hunk.
Samoan guy.
Like,
He's built like a football player.
He's the most not underdog. Like, you look at him and you say, that man is like a dude who's, anyway.
He's exactly what Vince McMahon has, like, dreams about.
Exactly. But his underdog, whoa.
You're fine. Don't worry. If you hear something weird happen, it means I'm tinkering with the audio.
Like, his underdog story just isn't working. So if you do make him go heel, like, that, he can play off of that, like, I'm still this underdog, and everyone's just like, no, you're not, and, like, have him be, like, this disillusioned. It could be totally an interesting thing to do. But so many people I see, both I see online and talk to in person, want a Dean heel way more than Roman heel.
I think Dean would be an interesting choice to go heel. I mean, and seems like he could do it.
I think Dean would be a great, like, Stone Cold style heel, where he's just like, I'm the boss. And people would be like, yo, come work with us in the authority or whatever. And be like, no, I'm the fucking boss. And then people be like, yo, come be faces with us. And he'd be like, no, I'm the fucking boss. And he just kind of is like this lone wolf champ, not really heel, not really face, at least not outright,
right,
but still just like lunatic fringing around by himself.
Hold on.
Getting into feuds wherever it makes sense.
I don't know. I think that he could be used better. Speaking of could be used better.
Whoa, transitions.
What? Why are we seeing Y2AJ?
I saw a joke online that this is just AJ Styles' WWE 2K storyline. Where you debut and then you immediately get put into a tag team with Jericho.
I didn't expect him to come in and immediately be in the hunt for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, because like there were people who were like, yeah, he's gonna win the Rumble if he's in the Rumble. I'm like, no.
They will not debut a new wrestler to immediately get the spotlight.
Like, very rarely does that ever happen. And usually when it happens, it's somebody who was already better established with American audiences because, you know, with
yeah, maybe some guy from back when WCW was right. A promotion, they could take Goldberg and be like, Goldberg's on WWE, and now he's going for the belt. And everyone would be like, oh, shit, I want to watch that.
Because AJ Styles was like, you know, he's great in Japan.
Dude,
but
TNA,
like,
bruh.
But he wasn't even always main eventing on TNA. And so like people were like, oh man, they're misusing, I don't know why I'm doing a southern voice, but like they're misusing AJ Styles. He should be in the championship. I'm like, well, I mean, maybe a mid, like no offense, but like maybe like a mid-card championship to start off. Like give him an IC run first.
Or
like,
or do what I have always said.
I love the song.
I've always said this. In my work podcast, I've said this outside.
Don't bring
of
up things you don't want brought into kayfabe, Bob. Drum roll.
They need more belts.
Yeah.
Bring back the fucking cruiserweight division.
I would totally agree with that.
Like, bring.
Well, they're doing this cruiserweight world.
Yeah, this world. Yeah, that's. Hopefully that can lead to something interesting.
It's a Cruiserweight World Invitational, but like, here's the thing is, they're not going to have, I guarantee you, as much as they're hyping it up, is we're bringing in talents from all over they're not going to bring in any ROH guys. Like, if we see anybody from like another organization that's still under contract, I would be very surprised. It's probably mostly guys who are either like not under contract anywhere or already under some sort of developmental deal with WWE, are part of WWE, or guys that maybe do like
freelancers,
a few like one-offs, like somebody that they could be like, they could have a discussion with another like promotion and just be like, hey, we're borrowing this guy for like one night, but they're not going to bring in a bunch of like ROH and New Japan guys for this event and give publicity to, at least I don't think they will. If they do, I'd be super surprised.
I'm actually pretty sure that they've like confirmed a couple like federations.
I mean, I'd be, like I said, I'd be super
and
happy
I'm pretty
about
sure New Japan is one of them. I think it's like New Japan, I think one or two from Mexico, maybe Lucha Underground.
I'd be pleasantly surprised. But
I'm pretty sure that they actually are kind of doing it pretty well.
They have been talking on the network.
But they also really haven't been talking about that
event.
Right. Like, because sure, WrestleMania is right. Kind of the hot shit in less than a month now, but
nothing about it except for like a little blurb on the website.
Yeah, I only found about it because I think I was looking up some wrestler who was going to be in it. I don't even remember who.
Trying to give you a little more slack here.
But
I mean, I would be pleasantly surprised if they did bring in more people, more people. I would be pleasantly surprised if they brought in people from other organizations. I just don't know if they will or not. More belts.
Yeah, man.
More belts would be great.
Get a cruiserweight or bring back the hardcore belt.
I don't know if they'll bring back hardcore belt because of PG and because of, you know, they don't do too many matches with Keller. They don't do the headshots with chairs anymore. I would like to see the hardcore belt or some sort of defended 24/7 belt, I think, is more important than a street fight.
Defended 24/7 belt is just so much fun, especially now that we live in a day and age where everyone's connected.
The quote, you can, reality era.
You can you know, have Big E like periscoping and have Kofi like sneak up on a dude and get the belt and have it like periscoped and have it still be like in WWE kayfabe and everything and still like streamed out and tweeted on their official Twitter network.
Or when you have like, you know, somebody going and doing an interview with Jonathan Coachman,
the coach.
ESPN, you could totally have, you know, when it was like they've been having all a slew of these guys go on there for interviews, you could have whoever your IC or US champion go on there. Well, not those belts, but this 24/7 belt, whatever it is, go on there with the belt. And then just in the middle of the interview, it's like, oh my God, he got hit in the back of the head with a chair. Who is it? Oh man, it's Neville.
And it'd even be kind of funny that you could like line it up so that shit could happen on fucking Swerved or Edge and Christian show.
Could you imagine if they did it like, on? Yeah, that would be well, they'd have to be more timely with it because like.
Well, so the thing,
a lot of those
like,
storylines are.
They could like, now that we know that Swerved is a series, and I'm pretty sure it's been confirmed for a season two. Like, they could say,
later, by the way,
they could say, like, the hardcore, oh man, the hardcore belt transitioned on our taping of Swerved. Make sure you tune in when it goes live.
As long as it comes live sooner, because, like, we were watching episodes that came out, like, the air date was at, like, Christmas, and they were, the stuff they were talking about was from, like, SummerSlam. So if they could make it more timely, I think so. But, you know, even without talking about the original content, they could do it like they could go on like Colbert, like Tonight Show, mm-hmm. kind of stuff, or whatever, Late Night with Stephen Colbert, and like they could have the belt transition. And then think about, they love free press from other organizations, like the whole like announcing the Freebirds and Rolling Stone or whatever, like going into the Hall of Fame. Like they could totally get so much. Could you imagine if, like, you know, not, I don't want to say John Cena because I don't want to wabba do this shit up, but like, let's say like Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins has the belt and they go on Stephen Colbert, like, yeah, I'm the champion, here we are, talking to him, blah blah blah. And then someone like Sheamus just comes on,
like, bro kicks him from behind the chair,
and then it's just like pins him, and like the next day everyone would be talking about WWE. Everyone would be like, did you see that the 24/7 belt got taken over?
Yeah,
you know. And it's like, it's such a great promotion for everyone. I don't know why they don't do it.
Also,
more belts, or is this unrelated to belts?
It is related to belts in a way.
This, I love how so far this podcast is like a tree. We're like branching out, but then coming back towards the root for the next branch. In a way,
it's related to new belts in a way. In that, I think that they should do another brand split.
Oh no!
I know. I'm saying it.
He said the words, the brand split.
But you could have, you know, you can have the head of Raw have his belt. You can have the head of SmackDown have their belt. And then you can have the head of WWE have their belt.
So, three brands.
Sure, you could theoretically have the head of Raw is also going to be the, you know, have the head of WWE or whatever.
Right.
But it at least kind of like opens up the opportunity to tell more stories.
First off, I feel like whenever you say brand split, and I'm going to put the sound effect in when I said it, but not when you said it before.
Uh-huh.
Every time you say
brand split,
there should be like a thunder, lightning kind of, like some
why
sort
do
of
you
storm.
Hate it so much? Why do you
this
hate
is
it
what
so
I,
much?
This is what, it's not that I hate the idea of a brand split.
Uh-huh.
But what it is that you are having a in your own life like renaissance for wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Like you
uh-huh.
you
I'm new. I'm
you're
new
to
it.
To it.
I've and, only been watching for a little over a year.
Hey, you know what? There's no hate on that. Like, you are devoted. Like, here's the thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been praying to Jesus. Jesus loves you the same no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter to me that you only recently got super into wrestling.
In all fairness, I've also done a decent job of going back and educating
myself. And you have. And that's, and you've watched, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's been going back, watching the old stuff a ton on the network. $9.99, get it today. But, you know, you weren't there for the last brand split. And the reason that the
brand for unification?
No. But I'm saying, like, when this happened, when Raw and SmackDown split, the big reason they did that was because they had, after the acquisition of WCW and ECW, they had so many main event talents on the roster, just so many of them, and they couldn't all be utilized. So when you split it up, suddenly your guys like Eddie Guerrero and like Chris Benoit, who wouldn't have been getting as much time on Raw, they would have been buried in the mix. Keep in mind also at that time, I think it was only a 2-hour show. Those guys all of a sudden are on their own unique show on a unique channel where it's like, yeah, you have a little bit of crossover once in a while, but for the most part, they stuck to SmackDown or they stuck to Raw. And I think the reason that worked is you had so many main event talent guys. And I'm not saying they don't have so many main event. Like, it's not that they don't have a good amount of great talent on the roster right now. I just think that they're not utilizing their main event guys and mid-card guys and lower tier guys properly. It's like, you know, I don't think that they necessarily need a brand split to use it properly. Because back then, you already had all of your A tier, B tier, and C tier guys in WWF. And then you buy WCW, and granted, most of the guys you got in the buyout were B-tier guys anyway, but all of a sudden, that puts some of your B-tier guys into the ability where they can be A-tier guys, and so that made sense for the brand split. But, now it's just like, they're just not utilizing them properly, and they keep reaching back for old guys, as opposed to they're developing plenty of new guys, but then they're just being hot shit on NXT, but then, like, not all of them, obviously, but some of them have come up and just, it's like, what happened? Like, I mean, I know Sami Zayn got hurt on his, like, first match with Cena or whatever, like, when he came up the first time, that they're totally playing off like it didn't happen, because now they're talking about his next run on the roster being his WWE debut, even though he didn't. All right, David. I mean, you know, you got guys who did great. The Shield guys obviously did great. Kevin Owens did great. But you have a bunch of people who kind of have come up and just sort of like, what's Tyler Breeze doing right now?
Well, see, this is kind of my point. Is like, yeah, you do have a bunch of, like, AJ Styles and how he gets stuck into a fucking tag team with Jericho. And like, if AJ Styles had debuted and they had this whole, like, Raw v. SmackDown, and he was like, I'm going to go to SmackDown. And then he became the, like, belt holder of SmackDown, making him, like, immediately a main event guy, but in a believable way. And then it also makes SmackDown a worthwhile show to watch, because now there are storylines on SmackDown happening that are only going to be on SmackDown, so that it becomes a show that's worth watching instead of just like a weekly tack on that you can put on if you have nothing else to do. Because that's kind of how they've been treating the show for SmackDown. So long. Yeah, SmackDown for so long is that it's just like this extra add on glorified televised house show where nothing really advances.
Yeah.
So no, if you like make it its own thing, and if you make it have its own belt, and you make it, you know, something to watch. I'm just trying to think of ways to draw people into the product to make it something that you care
about. Mauro Ranallo has already done that for you.
Well, and there's because another perfect example.
Mauro Ranallo, can we just talk for just a quick second? We can come back to belts and brand splits. But Mauro Ranallo is just, first off, I love his Twitter account because at Mauro Ranallo on Twitter, he's been doing this thing where he's been retweeting a ton of people who have said how good he is on commentary.
It's a pretty heelish move considering he's the face commentator.
He doesn't retweet stuff that shits on Michael Cole. Mm. He just retweets the stuff that says he's about good.
How good he is.
But then when people have, like, and I love this because it's like, it's kind of like he's so face when he's just like, I don't want to talk about it in like work terms, but like he's so face when he's like retweeting all these people being positive and he's always talking about positive stuff. But then he also goes out of his way to retweet when people shit on him and just add the caption blocked now. So he's just like, if you try to dunk him, he just like immediately blocks you and goes, oh, by the way, this person's an idiot. But he's just so, Mauro Ranallo is so good as a commentator. And we were hashtag blessed to have him do the pre-show at Fastlane.
Which hopefully he'll continue to
do. Oh my God, dude. Him calling Kalisto versus ADR, because he's like, we were just talking about this earlier. He makes everything feel like you have to be watching. Because, like, I'm not going to totally take a crap on Michael Cole, because a lot of the stuff that he has to say, he has to say. A lot of the shill kind of things, and like the, you know, him having to push Mountain Dew and Subway sandwiches and, you know, talk about random stuff during the matches. But Mauro Ranallo, he calls it like a fight. And so you're sitting there, even when they're in rest holds, just being like, wow, Mauro Ranallo is excited about something. I got to have my eyes off my phone and glued to my TV. I mean, if they would just give him a couple matches at Mania, I would be so happy. And there's that hashtag, like, raw, like, there's that hashtag going around. What was it? Ranallo for Mania, or like Mauro Mania, whatever, to try to get him on there. I would be so happy if we get Ranallo to call something at WrestleMania. But like, they do need to do something to make SmackDown more interesting than it is. It's not enough that it's on USA, which I'm happy it is. It's better on USA.
Easier to watch
than on Sci-Fi, but still, they got to do something to spice it up. I just don't know if a brand split is really what they need to have happen. But I mean, and the whole reason we're talking about the brand split right now. Here comes the money. The whole reason. This is the entire reason we're talking about a brand split. Is Shane McMahon's return. The prodigal son has returned home. The prodigal son. The prodigal McMahon has returned home. And I know you're excited. I'm excited. Everyone's excited. But being real quick, do you really think he's back for good? Because I don't think he's back full time. I know we're going 2 weeks back now, but...
Yeah, on our non-wrestling podcast. Yeah, I don't think he's back. Because, I mean, he's just so...
He has
so many successful businesses. Like, he has that fucking Netflix of China.
He's got so much
going on. You or whatever.
He's got so... And not to mention, he has, like, his kids and his family.
Yeah, he's not going to just jump back in the ring and become a full-time wrestler again.
Well, even if he doesn't become a full-time wrestler again, I don't think he's going to be a full-time,
like, he's not going to be, like, personality. The GM of Raw.
Like, I know that people were freaking out about that leaked Ticketmaster where they posted an event as WWE versus Raw. I honestly, like, everyone was like, that's the smoking gun. That's the smoking gun. We're going to have a brand split. But, like, I don't think that that's a smoking gun. I would chalk that up as more likely that somebody just messed up typing it in.
They probably did. Like, they probably did.
Some, like, 90-year-old woman was in charge of typing in the events, and she was just like, WWE presents Monday Night Raw. And then she typed it in his verses, and then, like, some neckbeard on Twitter was just like, oh, my God. This is crazy. Shane McMahon is going to beat The Undertaker. CM Punk's totally going to come back and interfere in the match, dude.
But, like, at the same time, though, I know you're making fun of it, but what is going to happen in that match?
I don't know.
Like, we have Shane, who supposedly represents the faces, right? Because he's... going to be the savior of Raw, and we're supposed to look at him and say, oh my God, this guy's here to save the ratings. He's here to make everything good again because Stephanie and the Authority have been ruining it. But then you have Taker, who everyone loves.
You got face on face.
And so you have Taker, who everyone, like, his streak is already over.
Right.
So...
I mean, but that said, his streak may be over, but he's not. They're not just like,
yeah, but they're not gonna like job him out.
Exactly.
So yeah. So like,
and I'm also excited about the possibility of Shane jumping off of the Jumbotron in the middle of that AT&T Stadium.
It's not going to happen. It's in a cage. What is that, like,
3 stories tall?
They're in a cage.
Do people get out of that Hell in a Cell all the time? But I'm just saying, look, if anyone was crazy enough to jump off, even at 46 or whatever, to jump off of the Titantron. Or the jumbo thing that they have that Jerry Jones installed in the middle of AT&T Stadium that, like, the screen's, like, a mile wide or something stupid. If anyone's crazy enough to jump off of that, it's Shane McMahon. And nothing would make my heart beat more proud than to watch him like base jump off of that with a parachute and then just at the right time release the chute and drop like an elbow from three stories up on Undertaker. It's probably not going to happen. He's probably going to lose. They'll probably find some other story way to give control of Raw to him. I mean, at this point,
because he's got that box of info,
right,
or whatever.
They wouldn't. To people who are saying that they think that nothing's going to happen from that, WWE chooses their words very carefully. They wouldn't have brought up Shane wanting control of Monday Night Raw specifically, like that brand. Like, he didn't say the company, he didn't say SmackDown. He said Raw. And then Vince was the one who was like, well, if you took control of Raw, you'd have control of the whole company. It's like they specifically crafted that little promo. So, like, something, they're not going to just like, well, Shane lost. It's Monday.
Yeah, right.
Back to the grind. Here's Stephanie now. Something's going to happen from it. Whether or not it happens at Mania or the Raw following Mania, which in and of itself has a lot of weight to it, I don't know. But yeah, more belts need to be introduced. The brand split, I don't know. Anything else worth talking about from Monday? Ziggler lost to Miz in a squash match for the ages. He said, you're not worthy of being a superstar, and then lost, and like it was like a minute, 4 seconds. Poor Ziggler. I like both of those guys. I just don't know what in the hell's going on with it. I'm all for more Miz pushing, though. Like, say what you want about the guy, but like when all the backstage stuff about him makes him seem like a real down-to-earth guy, and I think he's amazing as a heel. Like, he's good at making you just be like, I want to punch you in the face.
Right? He's just his whole awesome gimmick, and how even if he loses, he still thinks he's the hottest shit, and that makes good heels. Like,
oh, yeah. He's the star of Santa's Little Helper, but he talks like he won the Oscars.
Right? You can't beat a guy who, when you pin him and say, haha, I finally beat you, he goes, yeah, well, I'm still best. And you go,
I beat you.
You can't win against a man who has his logic set like that.
It's beautiful. Speaking of Oscars, two quick notes. Leo won his first Oscar. How about that? Hashtag Oscar for Leo.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Everyone's super happy about
the most tweeted minute in Twitter history, actually. Beautiful.
I was really hoping they were going to just play him off in his first stick. He's been waiting his whole career for this Oscar, and then he gets up there, and he's just like, I just want to tell everyone how happy. Thank you to all the people who worked on Titanic, because I should have won it then. Catherine Tan, Steven Spielberg, I love you. Everyone on the Revenant. Oh my God, it's my first one ever. Please, just fuck off and let me talk. It didn't happen. But they did play off the guy, the director, Alejandro,
he's won twice in 2 years or whatever.
But still, dude, when the best director is giving a speech, don't play. Especially when it's the moment of the speech where he's talking about prejudice and about how hard he worked to get to where he is despite his background, and then they're just like, da-da-da-da. There's probably like Daniel Bryan's theme music behind him. Like, just like, first off, fuck off. Second off, it did kind of make his speech more epic. But this is what I wanted to say about it was, Raw definitely wanted to remind us that the Oscars were the night before. How many Oscars references? You can always tell when it's the Raw after a major pop culture event, because then they're just like, hey, Denver Broncos, we had a great Super Bowl yesterday. We're here today in Topeka. Topeka's got nothing on Denver. Boo! Or like the day, like the weekend after the World Series, or like the Oscars happened. They just love to just throw out like, hey guys, you know,
right. Something. Remember happened. The thing that happened? Wink, wink, yeah. Elbow, elbow.
They just were making so many bad references. The worst offender was the Ryback promo, where he was just like, Spotlight won Best Picture at the Oscars. Ryback deserves a spotlight of his own in the WWE. And if no one's going to give Ryback, the big guy, the spotlight, I'm just going to take it. And I'm just like, first off, Ryback, you know that movie was about pedophiles, right? Like, I don't think that's the kind of spotlight you want.
Pump our brakes.
Pump the brakes. Second off, why? Why? Also, Ryback beat Adam Rose and Michael Cole had the audacity to go, the people in the locker room better take notice that the big guy just beat Adam Rose. I'm like, what? What, Michael? Can you repeat that back to me? Because I thought
the guy who beat the one of the many hosts of Swerve.
I don't know what's going on with Ryback right now and these weird. The glass ceiling, the brass ring, break it, take it. The big guy. I just like his promos are even worse than the Y promos are right now. The weird. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Mariah promos.
We're going to beat you and be scary.
I didn't even realize
you haven't beaten anybody. We're gonna beat you and be scary.
We're going to kidnap you and then job to you so hard.
Right, we're going to kidnap you and then nothing from that mattered. Fuck off.
I didn't even realize they were talking. Apparently they've been vaguely talking to Brock Lesnar is who they've been addressing in these promos. I thought
they're supposed to be having a feud.
I don't know. Oh. Now they're doing it at Roadblock. WWE, can we talk about Roadblock for a second? WWE Roadblock, because, you know, we were just on the fast lane, and now we're on the Roadblock.
First off, I mentioned this in my work podcast as well.
Work? You want to plug it?
No.
Okay. You don't have to.
Your choice. The whole fast lane concept
is goofy.
Needs to be changed. Because
it's not going
to
work next year.
Why?
The fast lane concept?
Yeah.
Because okay, so if you go back 1 year, yeah. It works. Because last year, they basically goaded Roman Reigns into giving up the Royal Rumble win. He was just like, oh, I won the Royal Rumble fair and square. And they were just like, yeah, but if you were a real dude, you'd like put it up at fast lane. And then he was like, okay. So then I was like, okay, that's the fast lane to WrestleMania. Because Roman Reigns is putting up his fast lane ticket. This year, Royal Rumble was for the title, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, so... You don't. The Royal Rumble decides who has the title. And Fastlane decides the contender. So next year, the Royal Rumble will determine the number one contender, and then Fastlane will determine the number one contender again? Question mark? Like this? I don't think that they saw the short lifespan.
Yeah.
Of this pay per view. But
well, I still think that they just need to change because the way I see it is you have. This massive match.
Right.
This massive match called the Royal Rumble. And it's huge and it's awesome. And it's something that everyone gets talking about because, you know, who's gonna be in it? What legendary pops are we gonna see? What cool callbacks? All sorts of fun things. Like the Rumble gets people hyped for the year. Like
right.
It's January and it brings in non-wrestling amazing fans. It's great. Then in April you have WrestleMania, their fucking Super Bowl, right? And so it's that's huge. Obviously everyone knows WrestleMania and it's just right. the biggest night of the year. And in between there you have something that's pretty much just a regular ass day. Like awesome tournament, huge spectacle of celebration and success. In between, just a thing that people do.
A fast lane.
Like it used to be awesome tournament. Elimination chamber, which is awesome.
Even when the
pay-per-view was called that way. And the Mania, wow! Now it's Rumble.
Eh?
Mania, yes!
Jinx, you owe me a better pay-per-view.
Right? It's just, like, how... I mean, I questioning booking, which is a whole other thing, but just like looking at the big picture, like you have to see like, and then obviously after Mania, it'll go down and then you build it up with Money in the Bank until you get back to SummerSlam and like, you know, build up and then that'll fall down because after SummerSlam, like it's just this cyclical wave that they're just like build up dead,
but Bob,
build back up. Yeah.
But Bob, now we have the roadblock to completely detour our momentum. Right? And I think that's why they called it Roadblock, was they were like, all right, we're on the fast lane to WrestleMania. Now let's slow the fuck down and not get too excited. We got a month to go.
Yeah, because they had an okay, somewhat okay fast lane pay-per-view. And then the day after, they went insane nuts with Raw. And everyone's like, oh my God, Mania, let's go fucking nuts. And everyone's like, yeah, in 6 weeks, dude. And like, oh shit, we have 6 weeks.
Yeah, and we still got no answer from that confusing segment where Undertaker comes out and talks for like 1 minute to Vince McMahon on Raw this past week and was just like,
I'm going to hurt your son. The blood of your son is on your hands.
He's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, that was, by the way, the weirdest part of the promo is Vince with these like droopy old man sad eyes going like,
he won't be my son. He'll just be a son of a bitch.
And he like whispers bitch. And it's like,
that's the rest of the story.
I just wanted Linda to come out and just be like, fuck you, Vince.
He is still our baby boy.
I just don't understand. Like, I do understand what they're going with, which is, well, Vince is Taker's boss, and he said so. So Taker's just like, I'll fight the match, but when I murder your son, it's your fault. But like on the flip side, I'm just like, I thought they might do something interesting, and then I remembered, oh, wait.
It's WWE.
I don't want to shit on the product too much because I enjoy the product, but at the same time, they don't do anything risky.
Right.
The fact that Roman Reigns won at Fastlane was I actually... I just remember having this feeling of, huh, what, okay. Because it was just like, Lesnar was the clear favorite, Dean was the fan favorite, and Roman was also in the match. And then he wins, and then Triple H messes his face up.
In the worst way.
That no-sell spear. I don't want to go too far back.
No.
Because we have other stuff we want to talk about.
So many more people have covered it before us.
But we're covering it now.
I don't care about us.
And the other three people who are going to
listen. I don't care about us on our non-wrestling podcast.
About wrestling.
That has been an hour of wrestle talk.
Oh, shut up, Bob. You love it. Okay. Then the rest of this was just bullshit, and Triple H beat up on Dean Ambrose, and everyone cheered after Dean Ambrose got hit with Alberto Del Rio's bullshit finish. The tree of woe stomp. Which, by the way, makes everyone look stupid. How stupid right? do you look?
Like, oh man, I'm just gonna have my legs hanging here for like a minute. Guess I'm not gonna like do anything to leave.
It's worse
I'm
than
going
that.
To actively hold myself here.
That's what's worse, is you have to actively hold yourself up to take the move. And it's like, it makes every face look so stupid. Because it's like, if you just, not even if you fought to get out, if you just didn't actively hold yourself in the position to take
just
the kick.
Like, let your legs go. You'll just fall onto your back and you'd be fine.
Just roll away. SmackDown was like less interesting. Ziggler got revenge on Miz. Who cares? The League of Nations beat the Usos. Then the Dudleys attacked them after. Ambrose cut that weird promo to open the show. And then Kevin Owens came out and was just like, bah! And then Dean Ambrose was like, hit you with the chair. AJ defeated Kofi in the best match of the night. And then Sasha and Becky had their rematch from their double pinfall decision on Raw, which I thought would have been a cool way to handle the story, if they hadn't kind of just done the same thing with Samoa Joe on NXT like a couple weeks prior. But still, I thought it was better than doing the interference storyline. So then on SmackDown, they made sure to do the interference storyline with Charlotte running in. And then Ambrose defeated Kevin Owens. That was pretty cool. And then that was SmackDown. So now we're all caught up.
Hooray. Wrestling.
So we covered it. There we go.
Uh-huh.
So what else did you want to talk about, Bob? Other cool things that you want to talk about?
Well, I know you wanted to talk about the Ghostbusters trailer.
I do.
Well, go for it.
You saw the trailer too. What'd you think?
It looks fine.
It looks fine.
My biggest question, which I raised earlier.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
Is this is apparently set in the same universe 30 years after the original Ghostbusters, and they're kind of acting like nothing, like they have no clue what the fuck they're like. Like, they're, it doesn't seem like they're addressing the previous work. And not in, like, the biggest problem I have with this is when the hearse shows up And like, oh man, I got a deal from my cousin on a car that we can use for ghost busting, and it's a hearse. And she goes, why a hearse? And it's like, the first Ghostbusters car was a hearse too. Like, right. If I saw that, knowing I was trying to recreate the Ghostbusters 30 years ago, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so perfect. That's awesome. Thanks for getting that. Like, this is gonna look perfect. I wouldn't be like, eh? Like, right? If I'm going to wear a Macho Man outfit honoring Macho Man Randy Savage and not choose to wear sunglasses, like, and be like, oh man, sunglasses? What a crazy concept. That would have put my costume perfectly over. It'd be like, dude, did you look at the character to begin with when you were making your costume?
No.
Like, so it's just kind of like, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I thought it looked pretty fun. I thought...
It definitely looks like it's going to be more of a comedy, like an out-and-out comedy, which is cool.
Right. I mean, because Ghostbusters was funny, but like,
It's very much you laugh. It's almost like the precursor to Big Bang Theory. And I don't mean to say this negatively because I hate fucking Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
But it very much was, like, especially if you look at the first half of the original Ghostbusters, it's very much a let's like giggle along as a group of nerds goes and does nerdy shit while speaking techno babbledybook, and it's funny. Like, okay. It's very much like a nerdy, funny movie.
The original Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And except that, like, you have Peter Venkman, who's just an asshole.
Right.
But it's all it's also like a kind of a scary movie. Like, it's not out and out horror.
A little.
But it definitely has a little bit of, like, this just, the new one just looks like a flat out comedy.
It's a subtle.
Yeah, no.
Is that what you're kind of alluding to? Is it doesn't look like it's going to be as subtle with its funniness.
Yes. Because, I mean, you got Melissa McCarthy, you got Kristen Wiig, it's directed by Paul Feig. All of whom have worked together on Bridesmaids, which if it's one thing to call Bridesmaids anything, it's you cannot call it subtle.
It's very funny, but it's just, yeah, subtle.
It is literally vomiting in a wedding dress in the middle of the street while also diarrhea-ing. Like, that is a scene in the movie,
right.
And that's that type of funny. I'm not bashing it. That's the direction it goes.
And you feel like the original Ghostbusters is more subtle. And it's like, I feel like there's two issues. First off, it's a trailer, so it's really hard to judge what the final product's going to be based on the trailer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen trailers that looked awesome, the movie sucked. We've seen trailers that sucked, and the movie was awesome. We've seen trailers that made movies look totally different than they're going to be. So I want to reserve judgment until I actually get a chance to, like, obviously see either more from it, maybe even a second or third trailer, but definitely want to see the movie.
Ghostbusters trailer, we were talking, it looks like a comedy, but we can't really tell much from a trailer. Right. I think really
the internet, though, this is one of the things that surprised me, is that the internet has, like, a lot of people are either just like super duper more into it than I feel. Not that I feel like that it warrants, mm-hmm. but very like it's over for them. Like, they're just like, this is cool. We like it. We're super into it. Or, oh my God, I hate it. It's not Ghostbusters. Why is this happening? Oh,
yeah, but that's what you get on the internet these days. It's just the extremes of one reaction or the other.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are shitting on it.
My favorite reaction I've seen so far was some idiot on my Facebook feed saying, wasn't the first Ghostbusters set in Chicago?
You didn't do your research. Your opinion is disqualified. Ring the bell. Ring the goddamn bell.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm totally, by the way, going to put a ton of sound effects in this after the fact.
This is just going to turn into morning radio.
Yeah. You're listening to Small Package with
Corey
Dexter.
And the douche.
That's the douche sound effect I'm going to give you. I mean, I'm super excited to see it. I mean, the trailer was, I mean, I've laughed at it where I felt like I was supposed to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think like, oh my God, this is a groundbreaking cinema, but I was like, it looks fun. Into it.
Anyway,
what else is there?
The biggest thing in video gaming news happened in a long while.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. The No Man's Sky release date has been officially announced.
I have heard you talk June about this 21st. Game before, and I June saw 21st. I saw that like I'm talking like a year ago. I saw like a little video package.
That's because this game has been. I think it was announced in 2013.
Okay. In case our audience of Khan and four other people don't know what No Man's Sky is, why don't you just go ahead and tell them?
So No Man's Sky is a first-person game where you play in first-person. It's not necessarily a shooter. It's much more like an adventure game where you go around exploring a universe.
Right.
And it's set in a universe, an entire universe. When I say universe, I mean there are over 18 quadrillion That's planets. They said if you were to spend 1 second on every single planet in the quest to discover every single planet in this world,
okay. It
would still take you like 450 plus million years.
So what you're saying is on PlayStation Network there won't be an achievement for visited every planet.
No, because it is the way the head maker, his name's Sean Murray, the way he put it, he's like, our sun will have burnt out before this game has become fully completed.
You mean like somebody like completes all of it?
Yeah, like until every last thing. So is it in like it random
generated? Is it like random generated?
So
I'm super intrigued. If you haven't seen the video that they posted online, and I mean it was like a year plus ago. Go Google for YouTube.
Just look for any sort of. There's a bunch of gameplay videos up now. There's a couple trailers.
It looks cool.
His appearance on Stephen Colbert was great. He did a good job of explaining and selling the game. So if you'd want to see, you know, a bit more personal side, definitely check out the No Man's Sky and Colbert.
Because you don't just fly.
It really is like the whole point of this game is that you're like going to all these planets. You're discovering all of these planets. You're discovering plant life and animal life on all of these planets, and you and everyone else playing sort of catalogs everything that you find. And so that's been the big question, is like largely up until this past week, everyone has been like, okay, yeah, I see that you have this insane huge universe with all this shit, and I see all this, but what do? And so that's kind of the thing that's slowly getting more and more fleshed out as like you'll go around this universe and there's a bunch of different alien races, and doing something for one race might raise your favor with them, but it might make another group angry with you. And so you have to like start playing against all these factions. You have to, you know, you have to keep exploring and finding new stuff, but at the same time you want to, you know, upgrade your spaceship. You want to make sure you have enough resources to fly to the next planet.
Fill your Pokedex.
There is combat. You do have guns, it seems like a very, very free form game,
right?
But it seems like it's going to be just so ground and in terms of visuals, it just looks. The way they pitched it themselves, Hello Games, the developers, is that they wanted it to look like you were stepping into any book cover from a sci-fi book from the 70s, and it looks so good.
Dude, excuse me. I mean, it looks fantastic. Everything about it looks and sounds really cool.
And I also pre-ordered the soundtrack on vinyl because I'm a fucking hipster.
That's pretty dope.
but it looks, even the vinyl looked great.
I mean, it looks really cool. I'm super excited about it. I would love to know more about what specifically is happening in it, but it's, regardless, it's cool enough that I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, it's been this game that has been, you know, kind of on the forefront of video gaming for a couple years now. People have been really following along with the progress and the development of this, and now we finally have, like, and Hello Games has been smart about it. They've been careful not to overstep their bounds and make release date statements before they knew they were ready.
Because that's a big thing in video games.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, just the perfect example is Uncharted 4, which just got delayed again after getting delayed again after getting delayed again. So the fact that they were smart and held off and were like, yeah, it's going to be coming when we're done, and then they said it was going to be coming in June, and so we had known that it was coming in June for a while, and now they're finally in March saying June 21st. And so now we can all say, okay, get ready, get hyped.
I mean, I'm very hyped. Bob, you are our resident video game expert.
Uh-huh.
With your whole lifestyle. I don't know how much you want me to say.
You make me sound like I'm some kind of like...
You're a games reporter, but you're more like a games Sherlock Holmes. You're more like Detective Pikachu Bob of video game news.
Where are you getting at this?
I heard something about Star Fox.
Do a barrel roll.
Yes.
Like they're making something new with Star Fox. I don't know about these things. That's why I'm asking you. You mean
the new game coming to Wii U next week or next month?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I want more information on this.
Why?
Because I loved Star Fox. Like, that game was my joy.
Use the boost to get through.
You'll need to get a Wii U.
That won't happen, but continue.
So then you'll never play this game.
I have friends who have Wiis, and I sometimes play with them.
Use.
Right. I sometimes play with my friends' Wiis.
Not a Wii.
Little Wiis.
You're aware that there's a difference between a Wii and a Wii U, right?
Look.
No, many people don't know that.
This is Bob's PSA for the podcast. There is a difference between these consoles. Make sure you get it. But first off, isn't the Wii U going to be like, aren't they coming out with a new console soon?
Yeah. It's the development title everyone has been calling the NX.
I wonder why people aren't holding off on releasing stuff until that comes out. Or is it coming out on that?
So you're saying, why would a company not create something to support themselves?
No, but their new console that's coming out.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just hold off something like Star Fox? Because Star Fox has a lot of weight to it.
Dude, Corey, if you really want me to get into this...
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So, a company creates a product, right?
Yeah.
Nintendo made the Wii U.
Yeah, I'm aware of this.
Okay. So,
by the way, people at home can't see, Bob has now stood up and is in a football position and he's white knuckle gripping his microphone. I feel like I made him mad somehow.
A little bit. It's just because you're completely lacking the understanding of basic business sense.
No, I'm saying if they have a new console coming out.
Yeah.
Like this hot new console.
Yeah. You realize the Wii U came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
And you realize that game development
is long-term.
Console cycles have traditionally lasted roughly 5 years in the past. This past console generation lasting like 8 years has been unprecedented. And when I say last one, I mean PS3, Xbox 360,
right.
Wii.
Right.
So now that we have the PS4, Xbox One, and Wii U, people have been like, okay, on to the next 5 to 8, 10 years, maybe.
Right.
A company that makes a product is going to make things for that product.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Nintendo's going to be like, oh, well, we have a new thing coming that we haven't even formally announced. I guess we better just stop production on the Wii U and abandon it completely because fuck that and fuck all of the Wii U users.
No. I mean, I look. When did the Wii
Xbox 360 games keep getting made after the Xbox One was released?
No, I get that, but what I'm saying
is... A year and a half?
Yes. Well, anyway.
And this new console isn't even announced yet.
It's just rumored?
I mean, there's a new console coming. Yes. We all know this. Yes.
Okay, then.
But Nintendo has not gone on stage saying, here's the console. Okay. Here's the name of the console. NX is a...
Then I take back
what I said. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm willfully acknowledging my ignorance on video game news. That's why I ask you about these things. It's because I don't know. I knew that there's a new console coming out, and it kind of seems like the Wii U hasn't been out that long, so it kind of feels like they're sort of just like, well, merp.
Yeah, I mean, they really are just saying, well, merp, mostly because the Wii U still, like... So the Wii, technically, was only about on scale with a PS2 or an original Xbox.
Jesus.
Like... Well, look at it used fucking, you know, component cable inputs. Like, gross. it couldn't even play DVDs. Gross. Like,
no, yeah, I get
it. In an era where a PS2 was the most common DVD player, and we've already moved on to PS3, which is now the cheapest Blu-ray player on the market.
And PS4.
Well, we're still talking about Wii.
Wait, yeah.
And you release a console in the era where we have the cheapest Blu-ray market, Blu-ray player is your competition, and you can't even play a DVD.
I wish that this podcast had a visual because your face right now is awesome. You're so mad.
Well, no, I am a little upset with Nintendo's
bullshit.
It's just the lack of dedication to hardware. Nintendo's software is, like, without fail, amazing. Every Nintendo game that gets released, even if it's something as bullshit as, like, Super Mario Strikers or the new fucking Mario volleyball game or whatever the fuck, you know it's going to be good. You know it's going to be bug-free, and you know it's going to be at least a little bit of fun, if not a ton of fun.
Right.
But their hardware is just very, like, I mean... It's well done from, like, a physical standpoint. Like, you know, if you have the Wii U gamepad in your hand and it feels nice and it works well, it's just they aren't pushing anything.
Right.
They're playing very safe with a lot of what they've done, and that playing safe has actually
hurt them
a ton, mostly in the form of third-party developers who don't want to have to, you know, throttle back their game to make it work for the Wii U, because they want to be pushing it best graphics, best frame rate, everything onto the newest hardware. And you can't be developing a game for new hardware and for old hardware. Like, it really doesn't work well. And that's why with the Wii U, you know, you've seen such terrible third-party support. You've seen EA, the biggest publisher on the planet, announce publicly that they are not making any Wii U games. Like,
whoops.
They just goofed.
They done goofed.
And, like, I'm glad that they are moving forward with the NX. I'm glad that hopefully this console will finally kick them back up to... Yeah, we'll finally kick them back up to hopefully modern, and it's supposedly, like, again, we don't really know anything concrete, but we do have some pretty decent leaks that are somewhat trustworthy, and from what we've seen so far, the specs are promising, but even as a core concept, we still don't really know what this console is. People are thinking it's going to be some kind of, like, home console handheld hybrid. People are thinking it might just be a handheld. People are thinking it's just going to be a home console. Like, and a couple years ago, we had the whole Nintendo quality of life thing that people are thinking this NX is going to be a huge outreach of this Nintendo quality of life health initiative stuff. And
you're talking about, like, the workout at home stuff?
Yeah.
They were big on that before even, like...
Phone go.
I do not know.
I should probably find it. But...
They were big on that kind of stuff before even, like... everything cool?
Yeah. I was just making sure I didn't...
Because Nintendo was big on that stuff before even, like, the Kinect was. I don't even think the Kinect was a thing when they were making those big strides. But they definitely had the edge on the, like, whole, like, home workout, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of it being, like, a worthy game console, they don't have that reputation right now.
Yeah, and
like, they don't have that same reputation of, like, the kind of, you know, people who are going to play Call of Duty or even, you know, serious gamers.
But anyway, back to Star Fox.
Star Fox, right? Back to Star Fox.
Yeah, there's just a Nintendo Direct last night actually. Yeah, it's coming April. It's called Star Fox Zero. It's
a perfect dark crossover. Like
if you buy the full version of the game, it's coming with it actually sounds kind of interesting. It's like this bonus game with Slippy and his uncle, Grippy.
No way.
Yeah, so Slippy and his uncle Grippy, and it's like this kind of tower defense type thing where you have to like set up cameras and bots and stuff to blow up robots or something. But it looks fun. It sounds enjoyable, and they're doing a cool thing. Like, if you buy the physical version, you get both games. If you want to buy it digitally, you can buy just Star Fox, and it's actually cheaper than a full released game. If you buy, you know, you can buy just the bundle.
I'm super excited about Star Fox, though.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It was a
big part of my childhood, dude. I love Star Fox. And, like, Slippy, you were just saying, the Slippy and Grippy thing, there's a side game you can play as Grippy.
Well, it's like this tower defense game. We already talked about it. I don't know. But personally, I don't care much about Star Fox.
No.
And I'm glad that you're excited. I really am. But unfortunately, I don't share your enthusiasm.
Were you not a big Star Fox guy?
I didn't play it on the Super Nintendo. I didn't own a Super Nintendo until I was like, you know, 16 or something. Check.
Nope. Sorry. The hell's going on here? Anyway, sorry.
I didn't own a Super Nintendo until I was like 16.
But what about N64?
I didn't play that one.
I didn't play
Star Fox 64. I'm sorry.
I thought you for a second. I thought you were saying I didn't play that one as in like any N64 game.
I didn't play that one.
I was like, Bob, hold.
No, I didn't. The brakes. I didn't play Star Fox 64. What do you mean 64?
You didn't play the N64?
No.
I can show
the
you the
N64
world.
Was the console that Major got me
Major League
into
Baseball
gaming.
Featuring Ken Griffey Jr.
Dude, and then you do the cheat where they swim through the air.
Yeah, dude. I fucking love Star Fox, though. I was like, use a boost, get through.
Well, it's apparently more
like your father, Fox.
It's apparently very reminiscent of the older Star Fox games. So
I'll be pumped.
You'll be well. You don't have a Wii U, but
and we come full circle. I gotta buy a console. Right?
Oh
right.
Shit! I still need to drop $300 in order to play this game.
I'll just keep playing Rocket League.
There you go.
I'll just keep play Rocket League. If by the way, real quick, PSA.
Just play Rocket League.
Play Rocket League.
Just play Rocket League.
Find me on Xbox Live. My gamer tag is CB Poindexter. I will play Rocket League with you. Bob is not probably as willy-nilly with throwing around his gamer tag.
I mean, we already said my name, and my gamer tag is my name.
Well, then never mind. You found him.
It's Bob Feckety.
Yeah, just so find him.
Bob Feckety.
So find us and play Rocket League.
I'm not going to spell Feckety for you, so fuck off with figuring that one out.
You got to do your own homework on that.
But,
you got to do your own homework on some of the stuff, kids. But anyway, I'm super excited about Star Fox. I can't wait for it to come out and then try to find somebody with a Wii U.
It's black and Hungarian.
Feckety.
Yeah.
Feckety, not Star Fox. I don't know what... That would have been weird. I mean, I'm excited about it. Hopefully, I can find somebody.
Well, no. In Hungary, they actually released Star Fox as the game Black for PS2. It's really weird. That's a really obscure video game joke that no one's going to fucking get. That's what you get from me, bitch.
All right, anyway, we're gonna wrap this thing up. It's been going on for a little while, and that's enough for episode one.
Right.
But we'll be back. Thanks for listening to Small Package. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if we ever clarified this, but that's a wrestling reference for a kind of pin.
No, it's not up. The size of our penises.
No,
we have medically average-sized penises.
we also, like, you know, we thought about throwing like a, you know, hey, great things come in small package, but like
no
it's,
penis jokes is what we're getting at.
Sure, it's a wrestling reference. You're gonna get more of that and also fun stuff from us to talk about. You can find me on the Twitter at CB Poindexter. Bob,
it's at Bob Feckety. Like everything else on Twitter? Yeah.
Well, what about you have your Instagram where you review sodas?
Well, that's at Soldier Scuzzy, but...
Find him on Instagram at Soldier, S-C-U-Z-Z-Y. Soldier Scuzzy. Bob reviews different kinds of sodas on his Instagram. That's all that there is. I find it kind of interesting that he reviews sodas on there. But yeah, no, find at Bob Fekety on Twitter.
At Bob Fekety.
At CB, that's Season Corey, B as in Brian, Poindexter, no T. P-O-I-N-D-E-X-T-E-R. People always want to add that extra T.
But there is a T. You just said no T, and then you said a T.
Well, there's a T at the end of it.
Oh, my gosh, not, Corey. You're not, so confusing.
People
I'm done with this podcast until the next time we record this podcast.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been Small Package, and we'll see you next week.